Coming today on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
I had the hardest time in relationships. I kind of went through bad relationship after bad relationship. And then I myself was in a year and a half long relationship with a narcissist that was very toxic. And it, you know, this is a story for another time, but I had a near-death experience essentially. And it really shook me. And it just got me to that, you know, we all hit that lowest low. And I just thought, I can't live my life like this.
So the big questions are these. How can we navigate and negotiate every situation in our lives, in our career, in our businesses, in our relationships, and even with ourselves for our own self-worth? In other words, what if you could win every time and have no losers? Let's face it, we're not negotiating just to buy a car or for a pay raise. We are negotiating for living in every aspect of our lives. How can we do that powerfully, successfully, and victoriously? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Rebecca Zung, and welcome to the time where you negotiate your best life. Welcome to today's episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung, and today we have a super special treat. We have Dr. Morgan Anderson here with us. She is a clinical psychologist and relationship coach. She's also the host of Let's Get Vulnerable, which is her own podcast, which I'm happy to say I'm actually going to be appearing on her podcast as well. And she's the creator of the ESL Relationship Method, which sounds super cool. She helps women break the toxic dating cycle, raise their self-worth, and attract the healthy relationship they've always wanted. She's on Instagram. She'll tell you all about all of where she can find you, her, where you can find her at the end of this episode. But that's her in a nutshell. And we're going to learn a lot more about her on this episode, which we're calling Relationship Detox. It's time to delete toxicity and create that new future. So welcome, 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 Dr. Morgan.
Thank you so much for that introduction. And I'm so excited to be here. I love the work that you do in serving women. I feel like you come into their lives at such a crucial, crucial point. So I'm just so happy to talk with you.
Thank you. Well, I actually serve both women and men.
Oh, great.
I would actually say that my audience is probably 65-35 or 70-30. Because, you know, narcissists are come in both genders.
Both genders. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you for clarifying that. I actually work with men too. I just mostly have focused on women. But you're absolutely right. Men need this just as much as women do. So.
Yeah, they really do. There's a lot of, in fact, the two narcissists that I had to work out of my life were both women. So, you know, I mean, but they were not romantic partners. They were people that I knew in other ways. So, tell us about you before we even get into like what brought you to relationship coaching. You know, what's the back of the business card for Dr. Morgan?
I love that question. I mean, I grew up in Montana on a farm. So, you know, like very much hard work background. But I always knew that I wanted to be a psychologist, even from a very young age. I was just always fascinated by people's stories. I was like the kid on the playground who's like one-on-one with one person, asking them to go deeper about their life, and everybody else is like playing, you know, like I've just always felt like my passion is hearing people's stories and helping them overcome and become that best version of themselves. So I knew by like sixth grade, I wanted to be a psychologist. So I went through, did my doctoral training. And
you did that in Montana as well?
So actually that was in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
Shout out to
making your way west. Yes.
Yes. All West Coast. So I did that there. And then I did my postdoc in San Diego at UCSD. Love San Diego. And yeah. And then I just knew that, wow, I love psychotherapy. However, I kept seeing clients get to a place of awareness and then not know what to do once they have the awareness. So then the coaching business was born.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing with psychology, isn't it? Like, they don't really give you actual steps. It's like, okay, well, here's the information, but figure it out yourself how to get out of it.
You know, it's in our ethics code not to give advice. It's just our role is, you know, you help people heal, you help give them awareness, but we don't say, hey, so this is your roadmap that you want to get to point B. This is what you need to do to get there. So I saw the gap for relationship coaching and I have loved doing that. And I love that obviously I could do it from anywhere. I do all of it online. And thanks to COVID, I actually moved back to Montana. I'm living on my family's 90-acre farm.
Oh, good for you. How cool is that?
It's been great, actually. It's really, you know, good to spend time with family and honestly just connect with nature. I went from downtown San Diego to rural Montana, no neighbors.
I just couldn't take the weather change. How do you go from perfect weather to 40 below?
Call me in December. I'll tell you how I'm doing. It's going to be rough.
Yeah. I mean, we went to Big Sky one time and Montana was beautiful, absolutely stunningly beautiful, but it was so cold. I couldn't take it. I thought I'll never come back here again.
So, you know. Yeah.
It is beautiful though.
The summer's great. If you want to go in the summer, go in summer. But yeah, the winter, we'll see. I might have to go for a drive down south. We'll see.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So what brought you to, you know, creating the ESL relationship method? Was it just your desire to help people or did something happen in your life?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I had a very difficult childhood, which I won't get into, but it was a lot of trauma growing up. And then I had the hardest time in relationships. I kind of went through bad relationship after bad relationship. And then I myself was in a year and a half long relationship with a narcissist that was very toxic. And it, you know, this is a story for another time, but I had a near death experience essentially. And it really shook me. And it just got me to that, you know, we all hit that lowest low. And I just thought, I can't live my life like this. So I finally, you know, went to therapy. It's like the cliche, the psychologist that needs to go to therapy, went to therapy, did the coaching, did the work. And I finally fixed these patterns. And just getting to that place of knowing my worth and attracting these super amazing, healthy relationships, I knew there was other women that needed that, other people that needed that. So,
yeah. So were you already a psychologist when you were in the relationship with the narcissist?
No, it was during my doctoral training though. I was in my second year of graduate school when that was
so you're being trained as a psychologist. I think it's really important because I've actually been pretty open with my community of listeners and viewers that I've had to deal with two narcissists in my life and not as romantic partners, but people close enough to do serious damage. And I'm a lawyer and I'm trained to litigate and I'm trained to be an advocate and I'm trained to be strong. And, you know, here you are training as a psychologist. And I tell people that and I'm open about I don't say who it is just because I don't want these people coming back at me, but sure. I'm open about it because I want people to know that it's anybody can fall prey to these people.
Yes, they, you know, a narcissist does not discriminate, right?
Right, and they're master manipulators, so you can't feel bad about falling prey.
Mm-hmm. It's not about you, like, you know, being dumb or like just not knowing, like it can literally happen to anyone. I sit with doctors, lawyers, you know, highly professional, amazing humans, and they've had these relationship experiences, right? So yeah, it can happen to anyone. And of course, as you know, our culture has so much victim blaming that it's so important to have that self-compassion and empathy when you go through this.
Right, empathy for yourself. The empathy they didn't have for you when you were in that situation.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, you know, and they're really good at love bombing and getting you into those relationships and then, mm-hmm. you know, love bombing and devaluing in a way that it really, really messes with your mind. You become trauma bonded to them.
Yes, I went through that whole, it was the classic. And of course, I didn't know at the time what was happening, but it was love bombing and then devaluing.
Yeah. So how do you know when a relationship is toxic?
I think that it's important to acknowledge every relationship is different. So I'll just say that. But when we think about toxic, like that word, I feel like is thrown around so much, right? But what does it mean? Like when it's harmful to you, when it's hurting you, how do we know? I think some of the key signs are you feeling like you don't recognize yourself anymore. Like you feel like you're changing. A lot of people say, I feel like I lost myself, right? So you key into, okay, where's your functioning at? That's one sign. Also, if your partner is isolating you, I'm sure your audience knows this, you know it. If they're isolating you from friends, families, there's that element of control. You feel like you're being controlled. And then anytime that somebody is using put downs, devaluing, making you question your worth. Those are some of the three things that I would say you want to be really keyed into.
Yeah. I mean, I always say, you know, when people come to me and they ask me if they should leave their marriage or whatever, I always say, I can't say that unless there's like abuse of some sort, of course, but you know, and obviously narcissistic abuse is abuse, but I think that it's a soul decision. I think that like your soul knows, you know, your soul wants to be free. It remembers who it is, you know, and at some point it can't breathe anymore. And that's when you know.
That's, I really love that. And I do believe that we can get to that place if we are quiet and we listen. Mm. We have to actually tune into ourselves to actually hear that.
Yeah.
Right. So you have to make the space to tune into you and know
what's right.
What is going on? Yeah. Like what do I need to do?
Yeah.
What's the next step for
me? Yeah, I agree. So where do you start though? I mean, when you're dealing with this, you've come to this soul decision, you've come to realize this relationship is toxic. I think it takes some people a really long time to get to a point of being okay enough and healed enough to even think about leaving. I mean, so how do you even start that process?
Yes. So the first thing, and I know we just touched on this, but it is that awareness. So you have to be able to really tune into yourself and do that over and over so you know where you're really at. And then next I want to say, we talked about this earlier, but self-compassion, right? Start with self-compassion. So send yourself love and empathy for where you're at so that you can fully accept it. A lot of people in this dynamic, myself included, when I was in it, you are kind of in denial, you know? And here's the thing, we want to get in reality. There's always good and bad parts of any abusive relationship. It's never all bad. So we have to get to a place of acceptance, and self-compassion is what helps us get there. When we blame ourselves, we're critical towards ourselves, we stay stuck. So self-compassion, the acknowledgement of what is the reality, what's really going on, and then holding yourself accountable. And it may take you a while to get to this place, right? But holding yourself accountable to honoring what you need. And maybe that is you need therapy, you need additional support, you need time by yourself, you're, you know, making sure that you're setting boundaries, you're having a separate life as much as you can from that person. But it's the accountability piece of, okay, how do I take action so that I'm honoring myself and getting clear about what that looks like.
Coming up, more on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
You have this wiring that if we're not intentional about rewiring it, it will continue to sabotage you as you try to move forward.
Is there something that's interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. You can connect with a professional counselor in a safe, private environment. It's online, or it can be through phone, chat, or text. They help you with any issue that you have an issue with, such as depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, basically anything you can think of. If you're unhappy, you can get a new counselor at any time. They're available worldwide. Financial aid is available for those who qualify. Best of all, it's truly affordable. Listeners of Negotiate Your Best Life get 10% off your first month with the discount code BREAKINGFREE. So why not get started today? BetterHelp.com/BREAKINGFREE. Simply fill out the questionnaire and get started. That's BetterHelp.com/BREAKINGFREE. Are you struggling with how to negotiate and win? Maybe you're dealing with a personality that's particularly challenging, like a narcissist or other high-conflict personality, and you're feeling powerless. Make sure to download my free Win My Negotiation cheat sheet at www.winmynegotiation.com.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can listen to more episodes that show you the path to how to negotiate your best life.
Narcissists justify their behavior in a few key ways so that they can sleep soundly at night. They convince themselves that the pain that they inflict, it doesn't have personal consequences. But they do that in a number of different ways.
And now we return to today's show.
Yeah. And, you know, and I really do see a lot of people in my community. You know, I get, at this point, there's probably 4,000 posts a day in my Facebook group. And, you know, and then thousands and thousands of comments on my YouTube videos and things. Yeah. And what I see is people, like, it's almost like they're coming alive, like they're realizing, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. It isn't that there's something wrong with me, that I wasn't good enough, or I didn't do the dishes well enough, or I wasn't pretty enough, or whatever it was. It's this person has a problem.
Yes.
You know, and by, you know, what you're talking about, self-awareness and getting knowledge, you know, I think is so, so important, because that's like the first step to going, okay, wait a minute here. This is not okay.
Yes.
So, all right. So let's talk about your relationship template and how you can intentionally rewrite it. So, you know, we're detoxifying here, right?
I mean,
right? Yeah. So how do you like detoxify and create a new template?
Yeah. So relationship template, you can also think of it as relationship blueprint. This is what you use to understand, okay, what are the, you know, unspoken rules of a relationship? What is a relationship going to look like, right? And this relationship template starts being formed from the moment you're born. So you have things from your relationship with your parents. All your relationship experiences come together to create this template. And here's the thing, when you have survived, you know, you're the survivor of this kind of relationship, there's going to be some really unhelpful things in that template. There's going to be some things you learned about relationships that are not going to serve you, right?
Yeah, And like neuronal patterns, that pathways that you've created in your brain, yes, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. For many of us, you know, there's going to be trauma there where we have a fight or flight response based on, you know, the way that, that someone is showing up. I was just thinking of examples, you know, I'm like all the people I've helped, but anyways, yeah, you have this wiring that if we're not intentional about rewiring it, it will continue to sabotage you as you try to move forward.
Yeah. And I think some of it might even be like, you know, feelings of unworthiness that we developed as children that make us feel almost like we deserve to be treated badly or yep. something to that effect. Not consciously, I don't think.
Right. A lot of this is unconscious. When I work with clients and we're really understanding what their relationship template is, there's a lot that comes out that they're not even aware of, right? They had no idea they had that belief. I had somebody recently, there was an experience that she had in the third grade and she learned that she was stupid because of that thing. And it's like, she had no idea that was there.
Well, she decided, you know? It wasn't true, but she decided that it was true, right?
Exactly, right? Like when I say learned, it's like, that's what the brain stored,
yeah.
but it's not true. Exactly.
Right. And most of the time it's on some sort of faulty premise. You know, I mean, I have a friend who went on to become, you know, a physician and really, really very successful, but she had something happen to her when she was a kid that her sisters were both on her aunt's lap and then she went to go jump on her aunt's lap too. And, you know, here's like this adult who's now has a third kid jumping on her lap. And the aunt said, oh, I can't have all these kids on my lap, everybody off. And she decided in that moment that she wasn't lovable. Mm. Now, any adult would go, or just mentioned she didn't want three kids on her lap, right? You know, it had nothing to do with how lovable you are or right. not, but yet, right. you know, she formed that in her brain at that time.
Yeah, that's the great example of something that, you know, can seem like we know logically that's not what it means, but as children or as younger people, we take these things in and our brain uses it to go, oh, that's what that meant. So then, of course, I mean, I think about it this way. If you're showing up in your current relationships with that old map, right, but you really want a new healthy relationship, but you're still using that old map that has the old destination, you know, you're not going to get to where you want to go by using that old map.
Yeah, agreed. So what kind of mindset do you need? I mean, so many of my clients or people in my community are like not even thinking about dating. But, you know, if they ever want to get out of this relationship and start detoxifying and thinking about dating again, what kind of mindset do they need?
Yeah, so dating mindset, I love talking about this. It's because I think what happens is when you go through these kinds of experiences where, you know, you've had trauma in the past, dating can almost feel like something that's scary, you know?
Right.
But here's the thing, dating is fun, right? We want you to be able to enjoy dating. And that's one of the goals in the program I have. Is I want you to enjoy dating, to look forward to it. And one of the things when I talk about mindset, you need to get to a place where you go, there is no failure in dating, right? Literally, I tell people you are a love scientist. You are gathering data. Every date you go on, it's a person and you're gathering data about this person. And it will be good data or it will be bad data, right? And you will go from there. But there's no failure. There's only gathering data.
Yeah, interesting. That's a really good way of looking at it. So let's talk about this ESL program. I'm so excited to hear about this, ESL relationship program. What are the four pillars that you have in there that are designed to help people heal?
Yeah. So I'll give you kind of a quick overview, and I feel like it'll make sense based on what we've talked about. And ESL is not English as a second language. It is empowered, secure, and loved, right? That's how we all want to feel in a relationship. So the four main pillars, the first one is getting clarity on your patterns and cycles in relationships. So why you're doing what you're doing, right? Like, we all want that clarity. And that involves unpacking the past and healing from things that have happened before. So that's number one. Number two, and we talked about this a bit, but rewiring your belief system. So getting rid of those beliefs that are sabotaging you and replacing them with the beliefs that you need for a healthy relationship. And then number three, I know we didn't really talk about this much, but I use attachment theory to give people attachment theory informed dating so that you can go from whether it's anxious attachment, avoidant attachment, wherever you're at, to showing up as a securely attached person when you're dating. And then the fourth one is all about dating mindset, just kind of what I talked about, and then using the relationship tools. So this includes conflict navigation, communication strategies, how do we do assertive communication, and how to set boundaries, how to notice red flags, yellow flags, basically all the tools.
I like it. That sounds fantastic. I mean, so, you know, I think the important thing for people to remember is that they can get over it. They can do this. No matter where you are in your relationship, no matter how bad it's been.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you've probably seen people who thought that they would never be able to get over it.
Yes. Yes. Personally, I always tell people, hey, if I could do it, I know anyone can, because it was a long road for me, you know, and I know that anybody really can heal.
Yeah. So one question I want to ask, I ask all of my people before we get to how can they learn more about you and reach you, is, and I don't know that I've ever asked a psychologist this question, so this will be interesting, and that is, what would be your spirit animal?
Oh, I love that question. Wow, that's a good one. So I know this one. My spirit animal is the mountain goat.
Ooh, I've never heard that one before, but there are mountain goats in Mount Montana. I did see
Montana,
them.
In Montana, yeah.
So tell me why.
So the mountain goat, because they really value their families, their pack animals. They also pick one partner for life. And they're fearless. They will jump from cliff to cliff, and they know themselves, they trust themselves, and they take their own path. They're rugged. They create their own path. So
That's good. Good one. Okay. Yeah. So where can people learn more about you?
So I hang out the most on Instagram, and you can find me there. It's Dr. Morgan Coaching. So just Dr. Morgan Coaching. I also have a Facebook community, which if you go to Instagram, there's a link in my bio, and you can find that there. And then the podcast is a great way too. So it's called Let's Get Vulnerable. You know, the song Let's Get Physical, but it's Let's Get Vulnerable. Super fun.
That is super fun.
And that's on, you know, anywhere that podcasts are aired, you can find that. But yeah, Instagram's the best way. Just shoot me a direct message. I'd love to hear from anybody who wants to reach out.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I know this is going to help so many people. I really appreciate you stopping by and taking the time.
I had a great time. Thank you for having me. And I can't wait to have you on my podcast.
Me it's too. Gonna be great. Yeah. Yes. Awesome.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you. Thanks for stopping by and listening to this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zong. Check back next Monday for more inspirational pearls of wisdom. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love if you would give it a 5-star rating and tell me what you liked in a review on iTunes. Also, be sure to grab your winning negotiation cheat sheet at winmynegotiation.com. And remember, today is a perfect day to start negotiating your best life.